You're listening to Women's Dream Enlightenment, Dream Decoding, Deep Discussions, and Spiritual Stories of Self-Discovery to inspire your personal enlightened journey. I'm your host, Megan Mary, founder of Women's Dream Analysis. Let's bring in the light. Welcome, everyone. Today I have Bethany Nicole. Bethany is an author, astrologer, and relationship expert who helps clients in everything from first dates to soulmates. She works with individuals and couples to help them heal their relationship past and bring in their aligned relationship futures. She utilizes tarot, astrology, and intuition to guide clients in working with the universe to create the cosmic connections and love life they desire. Thank you for being here, Bethany.
Thank you for having me.
So one of my first questions that I ask everyone on the podcast is, what does enlightenment mean to you?
Yeah, I guess to me, really, it just means elevation. It's just kind of looking at things from a higher level and seeing things from a lot of different perspectives, and really just kind of tuning into who we are as individuals and as a collective. And it's just really looking at things kind of from that perspective, from a soul perspective, from an alignment perspective. That elevation is really what enlightenment means to me.
Mm-hmm. I like that word elevation. And I always use the word alignment. The more we can come into alignment with our energetic purpose, the more enlightened we will become. It's obviously not a state that you attain and you're done, but it leads you more easily on that journey.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell the listeners a little bit about your journey and what brought you to do the work that you're doing now to help others.
Absolutely. It's almost a classic tale of how we come to this, that we hit a rock bottom of living our old lives. And we just get to this point where I really just can't go on like this. You know, I had grown up in a family that just kind of had a lot going on, let's say, and that kind of created a lot going on within me. And a lot of that wounded healer aspect of trying to heal everyone and everything around me. And that's just a heavy load, right? Like, we can't do that. And so what really kind of dove me in was the art of forgiveness and learning how to work with that energetic, and then allowing myself to open back up to who I really was and get in alignment with that and start working with the gifts that I'd really exiled and pushed to the side for a very long time. And again, it's not a linear journey, right? Like, it was some ups, some downs. And it wasn't just kind of that magic enlightenment stage. It was a couple dark nights of the soul, and you go a little up, then you come back down a little bit and all of that, but still on that journey, right? But that's kind of what led me into this work and really opened me up to doing what I do now.
Awesome. So what led you to use the specific tools that you use, astrology in particular and tarot and the different things that you've integrated? Which came first in that?
It actually, the intuition was really what came first, which is kind of backwards, actually. I think people maybe sometimes portal in through astrology or tarot, but I came in definitely through intuitive development. I was working with a meditation studio, and then I had kind of a mentor who was helping me learn how to sort of control these a little bit better and not take on the weight of the world and learn how to kind of tune in and tune out and just kind of open up that third eye space again and learn what things meant that were coming in, because I think that's something we all working in this realms, it's just a lot of energy. I always think of it as like an X-Men, like Cyclops without his glasses on. And he's just got all this energy coming out, and he had to learn how to put the glasses on. And we're just not taught what to do with all of this energy. And I'm an Aries, I have a Scorpio moon, I'm a Virgo rising. It's just pure intensity. And I just didn't know how to channel it or what to do with it. And so the intuitive development really helped me learn how to ground in and point that in the right directions. And then I started using tarot first and then astrology just as tools. I really felt like the most drawn towards the relationship realm, and that seems to be my niche. So those are just tools that really helped me in that, especially astrology. You can really see how that plays into people's love lives. And it really is almost just like a cheat sheet. Like if I look at someone's chart, then going into it, I pretty much know what they're going to be saying, what's going to be coming up for them, because there's nuances, of course, but otherwise it's going in a little bit like blind, trying to guess. And if I have the chart, oh, this is like a cheat sheet. This is so much easier. So they kind of came in after the intuition, I guess.
That's really interesting. I like that you found your innate gifts and then found your tools.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful progression. So what I'm interested about is your evolution from that space where you weren't really sure how to integrate what you were experiencing, because I had that same experience. And part of the reason that I started this podcast was to allow women to share their experiences with that same exact situation. Your natal chart can really play a large role in your difficulty or ease in that integration and being able to step into those gifts. So talk a little bit about that. How does that play into that?
Yeah, the Black Moon Lilith, which is something everyone has in their chart. It's actually not a planet or anything. It's actually a point in the sky, and it's the moon, the furthest from the earth. And it's just that point. It really represents the things that we exile, the things that we push to the side, and very specifically with women, because Lilith is an archetype that comes from the story of the Garden of Eden. She's not found in contemporary Christian literature. She is found in some of the older Jewish religions, Kabbalah, different places like that. Really, it's just kind of the archetype of the empowered feminine. So in the classic Garden of Eden story, you have Adam, who takes his rib and creates Eve. So in that sense, it's like woman is of man. Well, Lilith is considered to be the original Eve, and she was created as Adam's equal from the dirt, is kind of the phrasing. Obviously, it's interpretive, but basically that they're created as equals from the same earth. And the legend goes that Lilith would not submit to Adam, and so he exiled her and then created Eve to be a more submissive version of the feminine. So basically, when you see Lilith pictured, she's often pictured with the snake, representative of that seductress exile from the Garden of Eden. So that's really the archetype. It's the dark feminine. It's the sexually empowered, very in her gifts, very powerful. And there are some interpretations that indicate she's almost more powerful than Adam in some ways, and she's trying to be dominating, that energetic. And so it's really those parts of ourselves, especially in our society, that are very exiled. And a lot of that includes the gifts. And so you hear a lot in our circles the concept of the witch wound, which is the theory or the mindset of having a past life during some of the witch trials. And even if you're not into the reincarnation concept, even just on an epigenetic level, right? Something that could get passed down that way, where you're learning, or just on a societal level, you've learned that these gifts are dangerous. They're not going to get you love or resources. They could even get you killed, right? Depending on where that's coming in. And I was actually reading the book, The Spiral Dance, today. I don't know if you've read that one, but it was talking about how worldwide the quote unquote witch trials, it was like 9 million women or something like that. It was just over the course of the years, and even in these small villages. And then of course you have the Salem witch trials, but basically it was a lot, right? It was a lot of women that went through something like that. So there might be a lot of us experiencing the fallout from that. If I use my gifts, something bad is going to happen. And so we exile it. One of the ways I read really is just very empathically, almost feel what's kind of going on for somebody. Like I know their motivations. I can kind of feel what's going on that way. And when I was growing up, there was actually a contractor building my parents' house that was stealing from them. And I told my parents that. And I even told them how he was doing it and why he was doing it, because I felt that. And they immediately were just, that is awful. You don't say things like that. It was like shut down just quickly, right? So even something like that, where you're taught that's not okay. You're not okay. That's not, you don't know that. That's a horrible thing to say. And even when it turned out to be true, right? There was never any validation of, oh, that actually was correct, right? And so even things like that really teach us to exile those gifts, exile being out in the spotlight with that. And then if you add in that witch in past life, now you've got this exile that is this fully embodied female archetype that we can use for to access our gifts, to be in our empowerment. And the universe gives us that gift in astrology where we actually get to see in our chart where that could be, because it's going to live in a sign, and the sign is really going to help us figure out how it plays into our chart and what aspects of it we could be especially working around. And then also the houses as well can give us that hint, and what else, what other planets are with it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to read it. And I think more and more astrologers are looking at that, as especially for me, when I have clients who come in feeling like they have these gifts or, but just feeling like they can't do anything with it. That's one of the first places I look is, okay, well, where is this hanging out? Let's see what the wound is.
Right. That's really important, because obviously it's the way to empower women. And that's really the point of all of this, is to empower women to step into whatever they feel is their calling. Once they really start to put aside the fear and the doubt and actually move towards alignment with their inner message. And of course, societally, for so many, on so many different levels, there's obstacles at every turn in that, and including your own. So much of that self-development work is getting over your own, but then you still have to tackle all of everyone else's judgments and preconceptions, and really try and figure out how you can step in and own that and move past that in order to be able to reach and help everyone else that needs it.
Right. Yeah. And there is some comfort in that we're not alone in that. There's a lot of us walking around with that kind of feeling. And there are examples of people who've worked through it and pushed past it and figured out how to integrate it. And that's where we do a lot of shadow work, like Lilith kind of lives in that shadow area too. And this is becoming more and more popular. It can also represent the mother wound, because the wounded feminine wounds the feminine, right? So if you have a mother who's wounded, you're going to be that trigger for her, and that attempt to wound you as well. And you see how we interact with each other when you have mean girl groups. That's the wounded feminine in action. And what do? They try to wound or hold down other women. And even in the spiritual space, you see that sometimes, like women going at each other's gifts or different things. There's still so much of that wounding that we're working through as a collective. So we're definitely not alone in it. And we definitely are pulling it to the surface so that we can look at it and we can work through it and heal it. Because when we implement that, when we do that with each other, when we're mean girls or we wound our daughters, we're doing the oppressor's work for us. We're just keeping that going, whether it's internally, whether it's an external oppression, whatever it is. We really have to be aware of that as a feminine collective as well. When we're doing this, we're hurting ourselves. We're not necessarily hurting other people, even though that could be that the case too. But that's not empowering us. That's not pushing us forward. And there are a lot of us that are working through those wounds, because it's a collective wound. It's something that has come from a very long lineage of that.
So what do you find the common misconceptions are about what you do?
I think it's too out there, that I'm just selling soulmates, something like that. I think it's a misconception, or that astrology doesn't work, or it's the Cosmo quiz version. There's so many layers to it, and it's so much deeper than that. And working with partnerships or using the term soulmates, there's so many layers to that. And I think that's really the misconceptions I hear a lot are, well, astrology doesn't work, and I don't believe in this or whatever, but then they're still coming to me. And so I feel like part of you believes in it, or you wouldn't be so triggered by it or whatever it is, especially when I talk about astrology in the realm of relationships. I think people think it's like selling some sort of quick fix. And actually, this is anything but that. This is deep layers of work that's being demonstrated by your chart.
Right. And what you were talking about with Lilith being the dark, the shadow is equivalent to the subconscious. It's the things that we exile, as you said. And when you think about our brain being 5% conscious, but 95% subconscious, it's the tip of the iceberg, really, is our waking life. And the whole rest of it is just underneath the water. And there are so many different ways that we can access that, astrology being one, dreams being another. But all of the work is essentially doing the same thing. It's tapping into the part of you that is not connected and making that connection, unearthing that, and also using those tools to better understand yourself, which can then empower you, give you validation, give you confidence, give you a clarity in that understanding. So in your experience, have you had any dreams that have been influential in your course of your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to have dreams where I could move things with my hands. I used to have dreams of, and I think it was that pre-gift time of where it was really pushing things down. And I think it was my subconscious being like, we have more to offer here. And definitely, I do have lots of dreams with snakes and different things, which is the symbol of Lilith and also just the feminine. You see it in the Kundalini energy, you see it in the Shakti energy. It's just symbolic of that in a lot of ways. And I think it shows up for women a lot of ways. I've had dreams of being an oracle in a red robe, and they've almost always felt like affirmations around the right path. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should be opening up, and really just kind of pushing me in that direction.
Yes, those all sound like very powerful dreams. And I personally have had similar, really prophetic dreams that you can't ignore. When you remember them, you realize something major is happening. And this is a message, and I have to do something about it. So if you had to tell our listeners what everyone should stop doing, what everyone should start doing in terms of the work that you do, what would be your recommendation there?
Yeah, I would say for everyone to stop living in that fear and just take that step, whatever it is, that very first step, whether it's getting that tarot deck or getting an astrology reading, even if you're a little worried about what they're going to tell you or all of that. We're just so much bigger and more powerful than we know. Our success is truly what scares, especially in this realm and people looking to do this kind of work. That would make sense. Our success would scare us. If you're good at this, if you've been good at this in your childhood or past life or whatever it is that you resonate with in that, and you were punished or killed, or you had some lineage that had that scenario, then I think that would create a lot of fear. Just that level of success, they're opening up to those gifts, they're being seen. That's actually where my Lilith is in Leo, which is around being seen with these gifts. So my way of working with that, being out with podcasts, being out with my social media, just being like, this is me, this is what I do, like, you know. And so there are ways that you can kind of, using that information, learn how to work with it and move past the fear. But I think a lot of people's really lays in being open with who they are and being in alignment. And even just on a societal level, there's that fear of like, people are going to think you're weird, or you're not going to have friends, or you're not going to partner up, or whatever it is. But I think for me, and for a lot of people that I do know in this world, they tried the other way, and you just reach a point where it doesn't work anymore. You can't wear the mask forever. When you step past it and go into the other side of who you really are, that's when you find the people you don't have to pretend anything with. And you realize how much you were bending in half to fit into this old life or this old job or this old partnership or friend group. And when you let that go, then you start meeting the right people and you start feeling like you can actually be yourself. And it's okay to just openly talk about what you do and people think it's interesting and they want to book sessions. And the fear is really just that illusion, and we can move past it. With my clients, a lot of their fear too lies around that I'm going to tell them something. I work with partnerships a lot, so I think people are worried I'm going to tell them they have to break up with this person that they're seeing, or like that they're, or that I'm going to tell them their marriage is messed up, or that I'm going to tell them some really huge life-changing thing that they don't want to hear. But the very first thing I tell any client or anybody that I'm giving this kind of advice to is to just be open. That is all you have to do. The very first step is just open yourself up to be like, I am interested in that, or I'm not sure if this partnership is for me. You don't have to get a divorce tomorrow. You don't have to hold out a sign that you're a psychic. You don't have to do any of that until your path is ready for that. But just being open of asking those questions, and it allows some of these answers to come in. Because if you're still very shut down on that, oh, I can't be that, I can't do that, I can't leave this person, then you're not allowing any space. But if you at least can be open, then you leave space for some answers to start coming in. So I guess that would be my very first do, is just whatever that little voice is saying, just hear it, just be open to it. And the path usually unfolds from there.
Yes, I agree completely with a lot of what you were saying. And that sense of openness, that willingness, is really what is required when you enter into any kind of self-work, any kind of personal growth. It's not going to happen for you, and it's not going to benefit you unless you're willing to be open to it and you're willing to do the work along with it. It's never a instant snap your fingers and you have all the answers type situation. But the more that you are open, the more you will receive those answers. And I also resonate a lot with being seen, because I had the same issue when I first started doing this, and it was showing up in my dreams. I was having continual dreams about windows and curtains and trying to close the curtains and hiding behind the curtains because I didn't want to go on video. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to put myself out there. And how am I ever going to help anybody if they don't see me, if they don't resonate with me, if they don't feel comfortable? So it's really getting over that. I think that everybody has at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the witch wound itself, or the Lilith, or is going to revolve around being seen. I feel like I kind of got a double dose of it because of that's where it is in mind. But I think a lot of us experience that same feeling, because that would be the patterning. And that's what happens even in our society today. You see, really, if you see super sexually empowered women, they get called names, right? They get attacked. They get told this or called that. I mean, it's not always received very well. So even just from a subconscious level of, oh, this person did that and they were punished, or they were attacked, or they were called out. And even that mean girl concept, think about when we're young. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm sure it happens in all of the high schools and middle schools, where these two girls liked this boy and this boy liked this girl, and now that girl's the outcast, even though maybe she didn't do anything to attract it. As a subconscious, even if you're not that girl, if you're just watching this go down, I'm not going to be like, I don't want to be the outcast, I don't want to be exiled, so I'm going to fall in line, I'm going to
be careful.
Yeah, exactly. We watch that happen in a lot of places as we get older, in job stuff and in all kinds of places. Our subconscious is always, especially in those formative years, but always kind of picking that up and being like, I don't want to be that, so I'm going to shove this to the side. And when in relationships, I see it a lot as kind of a cycle, where the woman, there's like a little part of her that maybe believes, oh, if I'm really in my power and I really tell him what I want, he's going to leave. But because she's been hiding that, she's attracted someone who is that lower vibration, who is that lower level. So then she enacts that power, and guess what? He leaves. And then she shoves that part even further down and gets with another person, and then has that same experience. And now she's done that kind of cycle again, where she's like, oh, see, it happened again. I can't let this part out. I've got to keep shoving it down. And then eventually I get them on the third or fourth guy. They're like, why does this keep happening? And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've got to let that out. You have to embody that. And then you're attracting the right people. And then you're learning that that cycle is not real. It's an illusion. It's what you're calling in when you're hiding who you really are. If you just embody who you are and stay in that alignment, you're breaking that cycle because you're bringing in the right people.
Right. Being true to yourself and in stepping into alignment with what you really feel is your universal self, your knowing, not what you think you're supposed to be or the shoulds, then you're actually creating that energy that then propels you forward and also attracts the right things to you. And that's true for any kind of, again, development work. And that's really the point of any of that work. It's really to just tap into that, figure out, okay, well, I don't know what that is, or I've lost touch with that, or I don't know how to get that back, or I want to connect with it, but I don't know how. So that's really the challenge and the invitation, I would say, for all women, because it can make your life so much more positive and better and fulfilling in every aspect, the more that you align yourself with your true self, with your higher self.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the invitation to the dance, for sure. Stepping into that role and that alignment, whatever it looks
right.
like.
Right. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do, where can they find you?
Absolutely. And my website is bethanynicole.com. And that has information about my sessions. That has a blog attached to it that gives you all kinds of information about astrology and aligned relationships and manifestation. And then my email is just bethany@bethanynicole.com. And then I also have social media that has a lot of resources on it as well. And that's at Bethany Nicole Love.
Okay. And then Bethany's offering our listeners a free download called How to Create Your Own Manifestation Space, which helps create a sacred space to call in your manifestations. And also on her website, you will find available for purchase a download on How Venus Guides Your Love Life, which breaks down how to find it in your chart and the traits of each individual zodiac that Venus could be housed in. So that'll be a lot of interesting information for people as well. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Bethany. I really appreciate your insights and you sharing your experience with my listeners. I know it'll resonate with them and really get the wheels turning about how they can connect with their higher self and check out their astrological chart and information. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe to my podcast now to ensure you never miss an episode filled with insights and wisdom. Head over to my YouTube channel where I share daily shorts and full podcast videos. Hit that subscribe button and be part of our growing community. Are you ready to take the next step in your spiritual journey? Don't miss out on the Women's Dream Empowerment Program, a unique opportunity for you to connect with your intuition, unlock your inner wisdom, and align with your higher self through dream work, personalized meditations, and healing sound frequencies. Finally, I want to hear from you. If you enjoyed this episode, please reach out. If you'd like your dream or awakening story featured on my show, submit it today. Your dreams have the power to inspire and enlighten other women on their journey. Visit womensdreamanalysis.com to find out more.